spirits up, trying so hard for what I'm going to make my noise right out into the void. On ears for a bit, into the faces of people that I can't help but love. Thanks for tuning in again. I hope you like it and my friends. Thanks for tuning in.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedenik.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
Friday, the 24th of July, 2020, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from an undisclosed location somewhere on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. On the program today, we're going to revisit a locally made film that we first talked about in 2017 and since then has been making waves at festivals around the world. The gender-flipping telling of the gunfight at the OK Corral with a mostly all-female cast and crew, Last Stand to Nowhere. It's the Radio for Shootouts version of Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Hi. Earlier this week, Renee and I watched a short film about a famous gunfight in the Old West. It's called Last Stand to Nowhere, and it's a familiar tale, the gunfight at the OK Corral, Tombstone, Arizona, the Earps, the Clanton Stock Holiday. There's been many movies made about it. There's even a Star Trek episode, but this one is different. It asks the question, what if the Earps, the Clantons, the McLowrys, Stock Holiday were all female? It's got just as much grit, violence, booze, and spit as any male version of the story. It's just told by women on both sides of the camera. It's the brainchild of filmmaker and friend of the show, Michelle Muldoon, who came out to CITR in July of 2017 to talk about a proof of concept project she was trying to get crowdfunding for. So today we're going to replay that interview and a chat that we had with the composer of the soundtrack, singer, songwriter, and award-winning film composer, The Land of Deborah. So before we do the interviews, let's play some music. Now, this is not music from the movie itself, but it is by The Land of Deborah, and it was shot by Michelle. It was a video for a song that was actually the first collaborator between that filmmaker and that composer. The song is called Hey You by The Land of Deborah.
Stars, but I see only glances. You're facing the wall. Hey, you, please don't look down. Could I be the only want to see. You have a shining soul. I need someone. I think you need someone too. Can we dance the same dance? Sing the same song? Hum the same ditty as we walk through this life? Dream we are living the life we should know. Hey, you, open your heart. You will see there beside me we're all that we're destined to be. I need someone. I think you need someone too. Can we dance the same dance? Sing the same song? Same ditty as we walk through this life. I may not be what I want to be, but I see you, you see me. What can I do to make you see what I see when I look at
Last Stand to Nowhere was shot in 2018 at Jamestown Studio in Langley and released in 2019. It has been shown at more than 20 film festivals around the world, including Artemis Women in Action, Austin Revolution Film Festival, City of Angels Women's Film Festival, Almira Western Film Festival in Spain, in the very location where Sergio Leone made those great spaghetti westerns. They've also played at Melbourne, Australia, Ramsgate, Britain, and the Vancouver Short Film Festival, as well as Vancouver International Women in Film Festival, to name just a few. So about 3 years ago, Michelle came into our show to tell us about herself, the concept for Last Stand to Nowhere, and how she was using crowdfunding to get it off the ground.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me in.
You know, we've known each other for a few years, and I really don't know you at all. So tell me, who are you, Michelle?
Who am
Michelle
I? I'm Muldoon. Mysterious.
Yeah.
Okay. I am a writer, primarily. Mm-hmm. And when I started my journey in film, I quickly came to realize that the best way for a writer to understand film, to be a better writer, to move themselves forward, to create an identity, is to make film. But because I didn't go to film school, I've been learning through making projects. And I think now I'm ready to make something a little bit bigger and more ambitious, and so I ended up with this project, mm-hmm. Last Stand to Nowhere. But the whole journey in between has been a combination.
Is this your first time as a director?
No.
Okay.
No, I think anybody who is going to develop directing skills needs to start small, and every project learn from the last and mm-hmm. build up on the size of it. I came to this sort of as a second passion in life, and so I've got some transfer skills. I was a successful volleyball coach in the high school mm-hmm. for years. I went to about 10 provincials, and I find that a lot of the skills that I had as a coach between planning, prep work, instruction, communication, motivation, all of those are highly transferable in film. And I think that what has anchored me and stood me as I've grown and learned in my process.
Yeah, it is something that you learn, and it's in film, and it's in theater, and it's in all the arts, all the creative pursuits. It is a team.
It is.
And you do depend on every part of that team. So being a coach is something that would really put you in good stead in that area.
I agree completely. It's probably the best thing I could have done for prep, to be honest with you. And I really do emphasize for everybody, every writer out there now, get involved with making film. If you don't want to direct, produce your own short. Find out what all the components are, because we talk a lot about, you know, what it means to write a story, but we don't talk a lot about what it means to ask people to make that story.
Yeah.
And you're asking a lot. So get out there and find out what that actually involves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think it makes you a better writer.
You're putting it in someone else's hands, so you want to get an idea of what those hands can do.
Yes, and you have to also be comfortable with giving it up.
Yeah.
And until you've done that on a smaller level, it gets hard. It's really hard to understand what that means at a larger level.
So let's talk about this project, Last Stand to Nowhere. This is a really it's a unique concept. It's an all female version of the gunfight at the OK Corral.
Yes.
Now, why did you come up with that one?
I was actually working on somebody else's film over in Jamestown a couple of years ago, and we're walking down Main Street, and I'm thinking, wow, it'd be really fun to do gunfight at the OK Corral with a bunch of women, wouldn't it? And everybody's like, yeah, that'd be really kind of cool. And it sat for a bit.
Yeah.
And like with a lot of shorts with me, I come up with the idea, it sits for a bit, I go, and then the script just comes in a couple of hours. It's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've gone to so many festivals, and my last short was a 3-minute short about a woman who is an assassin, basically, and how she deals with what would be a normal problem for the rest of us, which is not a very normal way. And I was at a festival in Butte, Montana, so Covalite Film Festival, thank you for this. And we screened the last day in this incredible old theater from the Vaudeville Theater, basically.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we'd been talking about this already. I'd applied for some initial funding, and it wasn't quite coming through with Canada Arts Council. And it still sat. And I had some of the cast still, and I had all this. And a woman came up to me and started talking to me about my film, which is, again, I like to say I make the Righteous Babe with a Weapon kind of film. That's what I really like to do. And the feedback I was getting from women just ramped up my excitement even more about this project. And, you know, we've been talking about this all last year, and now this year it was like, we're going to commit to this.
Yeah.
So the team is outstanding. The producers include Victoria Angel, who's produced a lot of short films and some for Bravo Fact as well, and was an associate producer on Karen Lamb's first film. Frances Flanagan, who's an actor in town who's making the move into producing, but who has produced live events and a number of events for women in film as well. And Maya Aro, who's also our stunt coordinator, who is the stunt coordinator on Once Upon a Time and is just an all-around badass. She's just awesome. We're now just committed to making it happen. It's going to be a very female heavy crew.
Yeah.
And the cast is spectacular. I mean, I couldn't have asked for better human beings and performers in this town.
You've got the team together. Yeah. Have you shot any of it yet?
No.
Okay.
We've done a concept photo shoot with Wendy D. Photography, who, again, is in the arts community, I think, very well known for doing some beautiful work.
Yeah.
And we're using the concept photos to really push our next step for funding.
Right.
We have applied as well to a couple of funding groups like Bravo Fact and TELUS. And we're waiting to hear back from them. But the crowdfunding for us is one. It tops us up with those agencies if the best case scenario is that we get a yes. And what that means is it allows us to world build. And if we don't get a yes, it allows us to regroup, look at our budget, rework it, and go back and still film.
Yeah.
We think we need at least about 25,000 to 30,000 at a bare bones level to make this happen. And
that's nothing in a film budget. That's amazing.
Yeah. But again, that's like people working for free.
Well, of course.
And the thing is, most of us have done this for enough years that the truth is we want to pay people. We want to honor their gifts. We want to be able to book enough time for the work to happen. I got to tell you, when I did research on guns and bullets and gun wranglers and all the expenses with making a period piece, my jaw kind of dropped.
Oh, yeah.
And so location and weaponry and safety and stunt work costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to do it well, it costs more money. If we, you know, there are gradations here, right? So
So how can we help? You've got the Indiegogo page.
Well, we've put up an Indiegogo page. We're at about, what are we at, 24 days to go, Dave?
23 days left.
Yeah.
$6,458 raised by 57 backers.
That's fantastic.
52% of your goal.
Our goal was set low because the thing about Indiegogo is if you don't make your goal, you pay them 5%.
Uh-huh.
So if you make your goal or exceed your goal, which our best case scenario in our heart of hearts we hope to do, is then we don't pay them that 5% and we get more money back to us.
Yeah.
So you're always best to set that goal low.
Mm-hmm.
We have some perks up on there, some cast signed photos, some associate producer and producer credits, scripts, you know, just the gamut that really goes with crowdfunding. The truth is crowdfunding is about community, and we've just finished talking about how important community is for theater and for live performances. For indie film is all about community.
Yeah.
And we don't make film happen without each other. And sometimes, you know, that means throwing in a couple of loonies, toonies, you know, or anything like that. I like to say to the Americans that have been asking, hey, it's like almost 30% discount for you guys. It's in Canadian dollars. We're asking for money. So that's what we really need to do. What's been amazing about this experience is how many people, and excuse the corniness, are willing to hop onto this wagon train.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Load up the check wagon, put on the feed bag.
And... Yeah. Yeah. And I've had, you know, I've had a little bit of backlash on social media.
Yeah.
Of course. You know,
that's what it's for.
Yeah. But the truth is that we're in a time now where women in action is here. It's the time. We can make this now. We can get an audience. Festivals, I've got, you know, I've had a couple of festivals already go, hey, we're so supportive of this idea. Mm-hmm. You know, there's while there are people who go, oh, well, you know, Ghostbusters didn't work, and want to say that, you know, I know. But my argument is Catwoman didn't work and Wonder Woman sure did, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I think the time, this is the year to make it.
Exactly.
And when you've got a cast like we've got, so I really want to give a shout out to cast.
Go.
So we are partially casted, and I'll do the corresponding male names because I still have those original characters. But our Wyatt Earp is Chayla Horsdall, who you've seen on Man in the High Castle and Hell on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Our Virginia Earp or Virgil Earp is Sarah Deakins, who is award-winning on some of her work and who has just finished her own short, Yellow. Jen McLean Angus, who Riverdale fans knew her as Mrs. Muggs, but the Killing fans also know her quite well. Mm-hmm. And Julie Lynn Mortensen, who's got an indie feature called Drawing Home right now on the circuit. And Joanna Newmarch, who is well known to the When Call the Heart fans.
Yeah.
And pretty much almost everything made in this town. I mean, it's really, for me, this has been building into a bit of a rock star group. I'm really proud of the people involved with this short. And I think... I think they deserve to make this too, because they all want to do this. And if you take a look at the concept photos that we've been posting slowly, both on the Indiegogo page and our Facebook page, they're ready to do the part.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks good.
Yeah.
It looks really good. You know, it's, I'm quite excited to see it happen. So,
well, so are we.
Get on that. Get on that. I've posted the Indiegogo on the Dave Radio page, but, it's called Last Stand to Nowhere, and, get on board. There's all kinds of incentives for starting from $10 donations up to, you've got the mayor level at 2,000.
Yeah,
so.
I'm in discussion with somebody from the States who is thinking about coming up. It includes an IMDb executive producing credit and a day on set with us. And
awesome.
Someone's pretty excited to do that.
Yeah.
And we've had two people come in with $1,000 donations for the IMDb executive producer credit, too, and a couple in the $500 for associate producer credit. So really, really appreciative of everybody that's come on board. We can't say thank you enough. And I think, actually, the one thing I've learned about producing over the years is my job is to say please and then thank you repeatedly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you get good people who are willing to take the journey with you, you
hang on to them.
You hang on to
them.
You
love them.
And
you
appreciate them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, get on board. Support local filmmakers. Support women in film. Support Last Stand to Nowhere. And Michelle Muldoon, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me on the show. This was fantastic.
You can catch Last Stand to Nowhere on Vimeo and Amazon Prime.
It's about $1.50 to rent, but you can own it for less than $3.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
We don't have many enemies here at CITR, but we do like to keep our friends close. And when you become a member of CITR, our friends are your friends. So join CITR today to get discounts at Audiopile, Red Cat, Vinyl Records, Hooked on Phono, Rufus Guitar and Drum Shop, Tapestry Music, The Cinematheque, Kerner's Pub, Stormcrow, The Pint, and Fortune Sound Club. For more info, visit CITR.ca/friends.
Royal Court Princess Parties is casting males and females for a select group of characters to sing, read stories, play games, and many other activities at children's birthday parties and events. Now, they're currently only doing social distancing parties and virtual calls to protect actors and guests, and the interviews will be held over Zoom. But they're looking for actors who resemble one or more of the following Disney characters: The Little Mermaid, the Prince or the Princess from Aladdin, Pocahontas, Peter Pan, the Frog Princess from Princess and the Frog, and there's others as well. They're looking for someone who has strong improv skills, a strong singing ability, a minimum of 3 years performing arts experience, who is comfortable around children and lives in the Metro Vancouver area. So if you're interested in it, you can send your headshot and resume to Royal Court Princess Parties at gmail.com, and the deadline for submission is July 31st.
If you are sick and have contracted COVID-19, the BC Center for Disease Control recommends staying home from work, school, and away from other public places. If you must go out, avoid using any kind of public transportation, ride-sharing, or taxis. Monitor your symptoms carefully. If your symptoms get worse, call your healthcare provider immediately. Get plenty of rest. Stay hydrated. If you have a medical appointment, call the healthcare provider ahead of time and tell them that you have or may have COVID-19. For medical emergencies, call 911 and notify the dispatch personnel that you have or may have COVID-19. Cover your coughs and sneezes. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, or clean your hands with an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. As much as possible, stay in a specific room and away from other people in your home. Also, you should use a separate bathroom if available. If you need to be around other people in or outside of the home, always wear a face mask. Avoid sharing personal items with other people in your household, like dishes, towels, and bedding. Make sure all personal items are cleaned with general cleaning products after use. Clean all surfaces that are touched often, like counters, tabletops, and doorknobs. Use household cleaning sprays or wipes according to the label instructions.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial, open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
It's our pledge drive here on NPR, and we have a 20-minute field recording of a tumluku, which is a Bosnian instrument which can only be played when you have a pierced scrotum and three kids who have been killed by a landmine. It's unlistenable radio! Do you understand me?
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Totally listenable radio.
As you may recall, the great composer Ennio Morricone passed away this month at 91 years old. We played a tribute to him, including the theme from one of his most famous soundtracks, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And his passing reminded me about one of our guests, who had mentioned him as one of her inspirations to get into film scoring. That guest was The Land of Deborah. And as well as being a prolific singer-songwriter, she's also gaining stature as an award-winning composer for film. She created the music for Last Stand to Nowhere, and now that you can see it,
on Vimeo, we thought we'd revisit her visit.
You left me on a corner in the rain. You had two umbrellas. You gave mine away. What kind of a person does that to the one that they love? Seems my love wasn't good enough. Smoked. I wished I had a light, 'cause you were the one, the lantern that lit up my life. And now I've gone blind. Now I'm blind. I guess that I'm numb. I think I'm in shock. Don't even remember your name. But one thing I know for sure, I'm alone again. When the driver said, sweetheart, you should go home, get some rest. Tomorrow I'll be better, I'll bet. Go on, pet. I guess that I'm numb, I think I'm in shock. Don't even remember your name. But one thing I know for sure, I'm alone again. I'm alone again. There's just never enough, and one day I'll find that someone who'll love me true. It just wasn't you. It wasn't you. I guess that I'm numb, I think I'm in shock. Don't even remember your name. But one thing I know for sure, I'm alone. Again.
I knew it. I knew it. If I played her song, she would arrive, and there she is.
Hello.
Hello, Deborah.
Hello. I made it. And then I was like, wow, this place has changed, and there's a whole new students' union.
Oh, you didn't know about the new building.
Because now it's called The Nest.
Yes.
Swanky, because the last time I was
the palatial student nest.
It's very swanky, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Do you feel very rock and roll?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love it here. It's, you know, we have this nice window with the sun coming up and people coming by and that. It's a lot more open than it used to be. Mm-hmm. We at the old studio when we were behind the brick wall. It was a great place to hide.
There was something very guerrilla about it,
yeah,
wasn't it? You know, there hadn't been a paint job in 20 years, but people were like just doing crazy stuff. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good here now, too. It seems to attract a lot more diverse people. It's really quite exciting. So, hi. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. It's good to be here.
So, tell us about the Land of Deborah.
Well, that's me.
Yes.
And technically, I guess that means it's in my head. But I am a land. Basically, the name came because I was doing open mics years and years ago, and everyone had really cool names like Rain Spider and Fry Girl, and then there was me, Deborah. And I'm like, this is rubbish. And I can't remember if someone said something or if I said something. I said, that's it. I'm going to be a land. And it stuck.
Yeah.
For years. And so now people call me Land or LOD.
Mm-hmm.
And people yell at me down the street, Land of Deborah! I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
I guess it's me.
Yes. Well, you sort of mark your territory in a way.
I guess so. But what's interesting over the years, and I kind of hid it for a really long time, was just because it's in my head doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing.
No.
So I started being open about the fact that my guitars have names and personalities and lives outside of me.
Yeah.
And then 2 years ago, Dave, my little stormtrooper, who's my roadie, he came along.
Yeah.
And so everyone actually prefers to see Dave the Stormtrooper than me. Because basically what happened was I was on tour, and instead of me saying, you know, here I am in Edinburgh, here I am in London, I would put Dave in iconic places. So after the tour ended, Dave, of course, went back to Hoth because he's a stormtrooper, and you know, they'd just taken over the rebel base. And then people were like, "Where's Dave?" And I said, "Well, he's on a mission." So I had to bring him back. He talks to Vader, and it's this whole story that happens, and people got into it. It was really fun.
You have a wonderful world in your mind, don't you?
Yeah, and now it's on Facebook and Instagram, you know, and it's become this thing. And then people, like, I do these farmers markets, and go, "Where's Dave? I want a picture with Dave." I'm like, sure, I don't mind if nobody sees what I look like. It's all good.
Well, did you bring Dave?
I thought I did. I don't know if I did.
Okay, next time.
Yeah,
next time
we'll get, because it's we'll like, you're Dave.
We'll get Dave on Dave. And,
yeah. I could, like, Dave, I was looking Dave for him, action. And it's like, oh, maybe he, like, secret mission doesn't always tell me when he goes.
Yeah.
You know.
So where are you from?
I'm from the UK originally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, very beautiful part of the UK, Derbyshire and Leicestershire, which is right in the centre of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the furthest from any beach. And yet we had a massive seagull population. Go figure. It's beautiful around there. It's just rolling fields and horses that walk down the street and all that good stuff.
And is that where you started music?
I think I've always done music. Yeah. I was kind of forced to do the violin when I was very little, and I hated it.
Uh-huh.
And I started playing my violin like a guitar.
Oh, yeah.
And it took me a long time to give up the violin because my parents were very, very strict about it. But when I was 10, my mom got a piano because she used to play. And when I touched it, it was like a missing limb that I didn't even know was missing.
Wow.
And then you couldn't keep me away from it.
Yeah.
But of course, when I started traveling, I couldn't take my piano with me. And I found that music, I was always writing songs just to process life and just get through the tribulations of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I picked up the guitar properly and just taught myself. So that's how I got into the guitar.
Yeah. And how did you get to Vancouver?
I was backpacking.
Mm-hmm.
And I went around the States on the Greyhound. I got some classic Greyhound stories. And I went around the States and Canada. And I just thought, this place is amazing. You know? Let's see what I can do about staying here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that never happens.
No, right?
Never.
That's
people just
really
pass through. Nobody ever stays.
No, nobody actually is born. No, that's not true. Nobody's born here. But
hey, you're looking at one.
Yeah? You're a rare breed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, someone's born and raised in Vancouver. It's like, you lucky, lucky thing. So amazing. Such a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah. So what's your favorite Greyhound story?
It's not necessarily a favorite one, but the most tragic. I was in the Midwest, and we're on a full bus, and there was a guy on the bus who was really sick, and he had a really tough time. And then we got to our destination, the Denny's or wherever it is that we stopped to do our thing, and it turned out he had died on the bus.
Ooh.
It was really sad.
Wow.
Yeah, he was just a couple of seats ahead of me, yeah. I mean, we all knew he was in a bad way. So I wouldn't say it's my favorite one, but you definitely are faced with life.
It's definitely the most striking, isn't it? Yeah,
it really is. And, I have such fun.
So was it just everybody got off the bus and he didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what happened. In the end, we had to get back on the bus, and the cops showed up and interviewed everybody and made sure everything was cool. And, but it was really sad, you know. He was on his way somewhere or on his way home, and he didn't make
it. Just didn't make it.
You know, you see so many people who are traveling. A lot of the time, sometimes it's joy, like they're taking their baby to see their family for the first time, or the opposite of that, where they've just come from a funeral. And I find that the proximity of being on the bus, very different from planes sometimes, is that, you know, we can only go to the bathroom break at a particular time, really. You know, we all get off the bus at a certain time. So there's like a camaraderie that strikes up, and you really get to hear people's stories and get a good slice of life, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I did that for a long time because back in the day you can get these unlimited passes.
Yeah.
And you just travel around.
That's right.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So how long have you been here?
I got here in 2003. I properly stayed in 2003. Yeah. I've been in and out a few years before that. But so seeing the city change.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really changed quite a lot. I know that it's changed so much over the years, but I feel like I've just got into this time when Vancouver is really transforming into this interesting place. It doesn't know quite what it is yet. I think.
Well, I've been here for 60 years, and it's always like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a constant state of transformation.
Yeah, it's like you go to London, you go to New York, and you got to get a feel that they know who they are, even if it's just different, you know, pockets of places. But, you know, commercials change so much. Main Street's really changed, and Fraser, Hastings Sunrise. Just, I mean, I spent a lot of time in East Van, lived in East Van for a long time. So, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, it is. What's your favorite part of Vancouver? Your favorite thing?
Well, I grew up in Kitsilano, so that's home.
Yeah.
But I also spent a lot of time in the West End and downtown East Side. I really love the downtown East Side. There's a history to it. It's where the city started.
Mm-mm.
But it's where. It's sort of where everybody is, you know. There, like, there's such a mix of people and history and stories and experiences that go on down there. That it really is the heart of the city, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and it's really in your face.
Yeah.
Like, you can't hide behind a wall. It's like it's there, the good and the not so. And,
yeah.
And of course, everyone defines that differently. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love the parks, and I love
you
know, the mountains and all the sort of the touristy stuff. But you know, there's certain elements of the real gritty part of the city that a lot of people try to avoid.
Yeah.
That I just go, no, this is part of us too.
When I first came here, the first hostel I stayed at was on Pender and I want to say Pender and Homer,
mm-hmm.
right above McLeod Books.
Yep.
And that was an interesting place to live.
Yeah.
And you know, Needle Park is right there. You know, it hadn't even been developed around there. And I loved living down there. It was great.
So how did you get involved with film?
Oh, well, I
like we know each other through film events.
I know.
We met at Lisa's trailer opening for Puppet Killer, and then we were at Chris's movie on Wednesday night.
You see, I know John. I didn't know Chris.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I knew the director.
Yeah.
And that's a great film, too. I thought, I really enjoyed it.
Really was, yeah.
Right?
It was Funeral Day.
Funeral Day.
Yeah.
John Weinberg stars and directs. It was just at the Van City Theatre. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I met him, actually, in Austin at a film festival. What happened was, I love film. I'm always into scores, musical scores, since I was a little kid, even more than regular music. Like, John Williams and John Barry were my heroes.
Wow.
They were just, I thought they were amazing. And Ennio Morricone as well. And then I've always wanted to do it, and I just never knew how to do that. And
mm-hmm.
I'm a trained classical pianist, but I'm not really like trained in theory or all those good things and scoring. And then a friend of mine said, I have a friend who needs a song for a film.
Mm-hmm.
So I did this song for a film that did pretty well on the indie film circuit. And then he had a friend, a director, who needed some music.
Yeah.
And then it just happened. And then I got involved with a really great organization called Women in Film.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up just making connections with a whole bunch of people through that.
Yeah.
And then I stopped seeking those kinds of jobs because I was just getting busy with my own music. But when you're part of that world, you know, you can't leave it. It's really great. So people just say, hey, can you do this? Can
mm-hmm.
you do
that? Exactly, right?
Yes, please. I'd love to score this film for you.
How can you say no?
Right.
You know,
and really good things happen. Like the last film I did is 3 minutes long and 40 seconds of credit. and I said to Michelle Muldoon, the director, I said, are you sure you want music through the whole thing? And she goes, yeah. And I said, I'm the first composer and the only composer who might say, are you sure you need music?
Yeah.
And I scored the whole thing, and it played all over the States. And that's how I ended up getting to Austin. And it won Best Short Film, Best Director. I won Best Score.
Wow.
You know, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
What the heck? But it's a great little film. It gets right to the point. Michelle's just really great that way.
Yeah, she sure is.
And apparently I'm the composer for her new film that's coming out that she's crowdfunding right now, Last mm-hmm. Stand to Nowhere.
Yes, it's doing a Western.
I know, an all-female Western. And I'm like, I knew I was like maybe going to get asked, but I didn't say anything. And then all of a sudden it's on Twitter. I was like, oh, okay, I'm doing that score then. just didn't want to get excited until it was really official. So really official, really excited.
Yeah, and we had Michelle in a couple of weeks ago talking mm-hmm. about it, but I just remind our listener that it's Last Stand to Nowhere, and it's an all-female version of the gunfight at the OK Corral.
Yeah.
So that's the hook right there. That's mm-hmm. going to be, and she's got some amazing people involved with it. Some
really
some top notch stunt coordinators to do all the hard work. And
Maya Arro from Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah,
Sarah Deakins. I can't remember the other actresses' names, but and Michelle. And Michelle's directed two of my music videos.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get onto one of her sets, you are like in the safest place. You just show up. She knows exactly what she's doing. You're so comfortable. It's just a joy to work with her.
Yeah.
You know, she's really great. I can, you know, I can just basically do a whole show about how great Michelle Muldoon is, if you would like. But
we could, but we only have a few minutes left. And you did bring your guitar.
I did, yes.
Do you mind pulling it out?
I could. Let me get Penelope.
Yeah,
one sec.
Okay. So you call her Penelope.
Well, she told me. So I was looking. I have another guitar called Pepe.
Uh huh.
Who's an ovation? Hello, I'm over here. And,
well, we have another mic here. So
we do. And look at this surround sound in the studio here. And I was looking for another guitar because it's just, you know, better to have two.
Yeah.
And just in case, not that Pepe was any less of a guitar. And I was looking for a guitar, and one day I just came into this store. It's sort of in tune. And I started playing her, and I'm like, oh, you're lovely. What's your name? And she said, I go, what's your name? I said, Penelope. And I went, whoa, you're a girl. I've never had a girl instrument ever. All of my instruments have been boys. And I said, oh, okay, hi, Penelope. Can I call you Penny? And she went, no.
Oh.
So she's Penelope.
She knows herself very well.
She really does. Yes. So this is Penelope.
Well, Penelope is beautiful. Thank you for joining us, Penelope.
Yeah, she's like, because I play like markets and things, and I drink my beverages, and then she gets covered in water, bless her heart. She's been around. There's like a big crack in her now. She's fallen over and everything.
Mm.
All right. So what should I play for you?
Anything except Alone Again, because you just played that.
Which is good.
But you have a new CD out.
I do. It's actually out digitally right now.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of downloads if you'd like to give them away to anyone who's listening, if anyone wants them.
I think so.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Literally just went out, and it's on iTunes and Spotify and all those fun places. And just as an FYI, if you ever want to know how much an artist gets paid when their song is streaming on Spotify, 0.0009 of a cent.
Wow.
So in case you ever want to know if the artists get compensated, we do.
Mm-hmm.
0.0009.
Yeah. So play it a lot.
Play it a lot. Put it on while you're asleep.
Yeah.
You know. Follow us. Do what you can. Yeah.
All right. Well,
okay. How many minutes have we got?
We have 5 minutes.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
All right. So this is hello.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play a song from the album, I guess. This is called Show Me. Na 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 na. Would it be alright if I tried to make you smile? Would it be alright if I stayed around and played a while? Yes, I might be crazy, yes, I might be foolish. Even if I found my mind, I wouldn't use it. Just an empty space between my ears. That's all there is. Would it be alright if I tried to make you fly? Would it be alright if I start behaving like a child? Yes, my heart is open, yes, I think I've fallen. Even though I'm standing still, I'm sinking deeper in. I'm sinking. Show me another way. Show me another take on it. Show me another way to let you. Show me another way. Show me another take on it. I need to let you fall into me. Na 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 na. Would it be alright if I tried to take some time? If I had more fear, then I would give you some of mine. Even though I know you, this you shouldn't see. So how about a look inside your head? Maybe you can help me understand why I'm sinking. Show me another way. Show me another take on it. Show me another way to let you. Show me another way. Show me another take on it. I need to let you fall into me. I may never be someone I want.
want to be. So many times I've fallen. Won't you let me, let you let me, let you. Show me another way. Show me another take on it. Show me another way to let you, let you. Show me another way. Show me another take on it. I need to let you fall into me. La la.
So that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. You can find Last Stand to Nowhere on Amazon and Vimeo. It costs $2.78 Canadian to own it outright, so just go and buy it.
Remember, if you want to keep in the know about theater happenings and not happenings in these wacky times, you can check out Theater Wire and Colin Thomas's Fresh Sheet. And if you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, you can check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. And you can also find us on player.fm. And remember to like, share, and subscribe, because Sharon deserves it. Stick around. Audrey's up next with Too Dreamy, followed by Beppe Cressman at 2 o'clock, and our very own star on the BC Entertainment Walk of Fame, Nardwar the Human Serviette, at 3:30. Dave Radio will return next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hi, this is Cam from Akita, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Mastered economics, cause you took yourself from squalor. Slave. Mastered academics, cause your grade said you were scholar. Slave. Mastered Instagram, cause you can instigate a follow. Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Yeah. Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Been in time, I'm on mine, I be minding mine. Every time on my grind, I'm just trying to shine. Make a dollar, government, they want a dozen dime. The petty.